So I have a question for our first communicants, and I promise you it is not a trick question. But I'm wondering if any of you can tell me why you think Jesus feeds us. Because he cares for us, because he loves us. And one more question. What does he feed us for? What are we supposed to do after we eat the food he gives us? We're supposed to pray? Are we supposed to just stick here, stay in the church and pray forever? What happens at the end of Mass? Do you remember? I say get out. Right? I say go. And what do we go do? What are we sent out to do being fed by the one who loves us? We're sent out to love people the way Jesus loved us. That's what the food is for. The food is to strengthen us so that we can love people the way Jesus loved us. And that's what we celebrate at every Mass. We celebrate the fact that Jesus loves us enough to feed us with his body and blood. We celebrate the fact that in that love, we are sent out to carry that love to others. Today, as we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, I would like to suggest that the Ascension has some of the same logic to it. Even though this is a feast that can seem like it's simply a necessary piece of storytelling to get us from Easter to Pentecost, that Jesus has to get on the cloud and take the elevator up to heaven so that we can get to the next part of the story, I would like to suggest today that the Ascension is also a sign of Jesus' love for us and a sign of the way he sends us out into the world. Two things that the Ascension points us to. It points us to where our hope should be located, and it points us to where we should direct our attention. One of the things we heard in the opening prayer, one of the things we'll hear again in the preface of the Eucharistic prayer that we pray before we sing the Holy, 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 is that where the head has gone before, the body shall follow. The Ascension tells us that our hope is to be located with Jesus, who's gone to the Father. The Ascension tells us that the way Jesus loves us is not limited just to this plane and just to what we see in front of us. In locating Jesus with the Father, the Ascension is not just telling us heaven is up there and we're down here. The Ascension is telling us that where Jesus has gone, we, the members of Jesus' body that is the church, we shall follow. We have a destiny that is greater than what we can see here. Our hope is with God. As the second reading tells us, we have been given grace not according to our own stature, not according to our own existence, but according to Christ. And the grace that we're going to grow into as the body of Christ is measured not by us, but by Jesus. So that our hope is to be larger and bolder than we might otherwise make it. That's the first thing the Ascension tells us. The second thing the Ascension tells us is that while our hope is located with Jesus, who is at the Father's right hand in glory, that we can't spend all our time putting our attention there, because Jesus has given us a mission to put our attention here, to put our attention with the people he's called us to go and bring the gospel to. The end of the first reading, these two folks who show up in white, common symbol for angels, what do they say to the disciples? They say, "Why are you staring at the sky? Stop looking up there. Jesus will come back the same way he left. Don't worry about that. You've got a job to do. You've been missioned. You've been sent out into the world, as the gospel says, to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And if you spend all your time focused on what's up in the sky, if we spend all our time focused on the questions of what heaven's like, if we spend all our time focused on what God's laid out ahead of us, then we can't actually put our attention on the real job Jesus gave us to do. Sometimes it's so easy to focus on what God's doing. Sometimes we hear this as, oh, God has a plan, or this must all be part of God's plan, or, oh, well, whatever God wills. It's so easy to focus on what God's doing that we don't actually get around to asking the question, what are we called to do? And I think one of the reasons for the ascension, one of the gifts we're given in the ascension, is Jesus says, look, you can't just watch me anymore. For 40 days after the resurrection, the risen Jesus is present with his disciples, teaching them, eating with them, feeding them, to strengthen them for the mission he gives them. But then after 40 days, he says, okay, now it's yours. And by going to the Father, Jesus both opens up room for us to be given the Spirit at Pentecost, which we'll celebrate next week, but he also opens up the room for us to take up the mission that he's given us and not just pay attention to him, but turn our attention outwards, turn our attention to where he's sending us in the world. And I think that there are two temptations, two distractions from that attention that we ought to be aware of. The first is the distraction of simply looking up at the sky, putting all our attention on the theological stuff, on the doctrine, getting all the details about God right. And sometimes those details end up being completely pointless to the mission. If Jesus rode a cloud up to heaven in the ascension, which of course the gospel does not say, it's just the way it's been painted for centuries, was that cloud 4 feet wide or 10 feet wide? Who cares? Doesn't matter. Not a bit. But that temptation, I don't actually think, is the one that most of us here at Holy Trinity are most afflicted by. The temptation to spend all our time looking up at the sky, thinking about heaven, thinking about God, and not paying attention to the world. I think if the angels from the ascension were to show up and talk to us, they might say to us, instead of, why are you looking up at the sky? They might instead say, why are you looking around at each other? Because I think the temptation that affects us the most when we go out with the mission to proclaim the gospel to every creature, when we go out with the mission to bring about the kingdom of justice, is to look around and notice and critique everybody else who's not doing it right. And so that we put all our effort, instead of into doing the job, our attention is distracted by looking around at the job other people are supposed to be doing. In the work for justice, sometimes this can end up sounding like, well, you know, there's all those people who don't vote the right way. There's those jerks in Congress who can't seem to pass a law, even if it's right in front of them. And if they would only get all this straightened out, and then we can give this very eloquent critique of everything that ought to be done. But what that doesn't do, as important, as valid as all of that may be, what that doesn't do is tell us what we should do next. What that doesn't do is tell us where our lives should be more deeply in contact with the poor. What that doesn't do is tell us what we're supposed to carry out of this church when we're sent out to go and glorify God by our lives. Or, on the side of proclaiming the faith, it's certainly very easy to say, well, if only the bishops would do thus and such. Or it's very easy to say, although I'm sure no one in here has ever said it, if only that priest would preach a better homily. If only the parish staff would run this program better. If only this, that, or the other thing would change in the church, then it would work so much better. But what that doesn't do is tell us how we are to carry the gospel out of this church to the people that we love. What that doesn't do is tell us how we are to announce to others the fact that God has broken into the world and given us new life. Many of you have probably heard, because it's been much in the news recently, about this Pew survey about religion in American life that's revealed that a greater number than ever before of people are reporting themselves as nuns. Not even atheists or agnostics, but simply no religious affiliation whatsoever. And that within that group of nuns, more people than ever before are saying they have no interest in religion whatsoever. Where are we called to announce the fact that God has moved in our lives and that God is giving us the gift of Himself? Sometimes when I meet with couples who are preparing for marriage, or when I talk with parents who are preparing to have their children baptized, I will frequently ask them, how do you pray together? And sometimes people look back at me like I have two heads. Pray together? Well, we go to church together. I say, no, but how do you actually pray together? What do you share with each other about the way God works in your life? That's challenging. That can be difficult. But that's exactly where we need to grow. What do we share first with those who are closest to us, and then beyond that with those to whom we are called to announce the gospel? What do we share about the way God is working in our lives? If the angels from the ascension showed up to us, I think one of the things they might say is, stop looking around at each other. Stop looking at the bishops, stop looking at the Vatican and waiting for them to somehow get their stuff together so that you can announce the gospel more effectively. You've been given this mission to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. You go out and work for justice. You go out and tell people how God is moving in your life. Stop looking up at the sky, waiting for Jesus to take care of it all. Jesus has given the job to you. Stop looking around at each other, waiting for someone else to finally get it straight. You've been given this task yourself, and you've been given the grace, as Paul tells us in the reading from the Ephesians. You've been given the grace sufficient to this task, so that all of us together can grow to the full stature of Christ. And when we do grow together more fully into the body of Christ, when we are fed, as we'll be fed today, by the body and blood of Christ, then we know that where the head of the body has gone before, we shall follow. And our hope is located always with Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father.